This program is sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery. For more information, go to cane5.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, and my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Afternoon.
He's tired today.
I'm okay.
And we got Joey G in the booth, our engineer.
Hello.
Okay, Joe's with us too. Boy, everybody's kind of got the slow mode to go to today with the 97 degrees out there. It's really rough out there. We're broadcasting live from the back of Roberta's in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And we're here every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. And if we'd like to hear from you while we're broadcasting. So if you have any comments or questions, feel free to give us a call. The digits. 718-497-2128. Because I changed it and I said digits. Andrew looked at me like I was weird. Or you can email Joe in the booth, info@heritageradionetwork.com, and we'll be happy to talk to you while we're streaming. All shows are archived on the website, so if you can't listen live, or tune into the website. I mean, yeah.
You okay?
Tune in through the website.
What are those shoes about?
Tune in through the website.
Can we describe your shoes right now?
Can I finish?
Yeah, you can download it on the website or iTunes. Flash Talks Cast, Google it. Go ahead. Now the shoes. What's these shoes?
They're
circles and then like
they're straps. They're sandals.
Are those sandals?
They're sandals.
They look like you made them yourself in the Arts and Crafts class.
Yeah. Well,
you make them at that guy, Steve
Calvin
Nuts?
Klein made them in
you
Arts and Crafts.
You make them at Steve Nuts?
Calvin Klein made them.
Art studio? So, those are Calvin Klein shoes?
Yes, they are.
Calvin Klein makes shoes?
Yes.
Really?
Fashion people
they'll put their name
make
on anything.
Anything. Yeah. Yes, okay. So,
those are some interesting shoes.
Well,
you got weird tan lines with those?
I don't.
You have circles on your feet then?
I'll have circles.
Can I describe your shoes to people?
It matches the new shirt that I just got. Tell them about the shirt that we have here at the Heritage Radio.
It's a Heritage Radio shirt.
It's a Heritage Radio shirt. It's very cool. It says, radio is back.
Not nearly as cool as your shoes. Can we focus on the shoes right now?
And it's available for
Joe.
Sale.
Andrew.
Go.
Have
go.
You seen?
We're pushing the t-shirt right
go,
now.
Go
have
to
you
the website.
Seen these shoes? They're interesting as hell.
Well,
it's like a Venn diagram on her feet.
A Venn diagram. That's
a very good
description.
That's very good, yes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To me, it doesn't look like, because Venn diagram don't, well, sometimes they're intersecting. These are
sometimes
non-intersecting.
They're not intersecting, but they're connected. They're connected by, you know, groups. There's like little.
It kind of reminds me of a chain link fence or something.
No, it doesn't.
All right, well, okay.
Yeah, all right, we got shirts that say radio is back and the logo's on the back. Very nice shirts. Flash bought one today.
Flash.
Exciting times.
Flash has bought it to match your
how
new shoes.
How much is the shirt?
To match your new shoes.
How much is the shirt?
I think they're $30.
$30.
So if you're a fan of Heritage Radio, look on the website and check out the shirts and buy a shirt. It'll be cool.
And
it's
a
support.
Picture of you.
And it supports the radio station. So let's talk about the show today. Money and marriage, can they get along? That's a great question because so many marriages, I'm going to talk about Americans because I don't know about the rest of the world. Americans, they say that 40% of the marriages fight over money. I bet you it's even higher. And why is that? Well,
money makes the world go round.
Well, I think the main reason is that money is a controlling factor for people. People who have money use it to control the person who doesn't have money. And sometimes the person who doesn't have money uses it as control. But that's probably the widest problem with the money in a marriage. It really defines a lot of marriages as Joe and Andrew grow older and they watch their friends and their family marry and age. They're going to see that money is a big, big factor.
Apparently, Joe, we're not going to marry your age. We're going to watch everyone else marry and age. We're like Dorian Gray up in this piece, Joe.
We're getting married?
No, we're not getting married getting old. Neither one of us. Apparently, everyone else is, Joe.
That's
what she just said.
No, I didn't say it that
way.
I know.
I'm youthful and young at heart, but
yes.
Unfortunately, I'm getting older.
Joe?
Yeah.
Why are you lying to us?
I'm talking about
you're my mom. You're not supposed to lie to me. Why are you lying? Why? Nice shoes, by the way. True. Why are you lying?
Can we talk about the show?
I'm just going to keep repeating myself.
Okay. So Joe? Money is as a tool that's used to tip the scales in lots of relationships. It doesn't have to be a marriage. It could be in your siblings. It could be with your friends. Money is used in all your relationships. And, you know, the goal is to not have money control any part of your relationship, that the person is with you because they like to be with you and not because of the money you have or you don't have. But that's not the case. I mean, there's lots of gold diggers out there. There's lots of other reasons why people hook up, and money is a big factor. And so what happens here? Well, let me give you an example of how money fuels money actually gets in the way of intimacy. And so,
really?
Oh yes.
Sometimes it helps intimacy.
Nah, not.
Are you kidding me?
No. Wait, intimacy.
When you're fanning out the dollars and you're making it rain
that's
on
not
them.
Yeah,
intimate.
I've watched a lot
that's
of rap music.
Come on, Joe. That's the most intimate moment I've
that's
ever seen.
Not intimacy, boy. That's do you intimacy. Guys have a lot to learn? That's why I said you're gonna watch your friends get in trouble with money because you guys aren't involved in an intimate relationship.
What are you talking about?
Okay, watch this. These are examples, and these are the reasons why people use money or abuse money in their relationships. There's an example of a person, he wants to get a divorce. He thinks the divorce is 100% his fault, so he doesn't want to keep any of the assets that he and his wife built together, right? So that is really a sad financial mistake because each partner is 50% responsible.
Only after they're married.
And the active person usually gets blamed, but the passive person acquiesces there. So that's how money...
What does that mean?
Acquiesces means...
The passive... Who's the passive and who's the active?
The person who says it's all my fault and I give you all of my assets. That person is taking the blame for this relationship. It says, I'm
what if
not,
no one takes the blame?
Well, but that's how it works in a divorce, generally speaking.
Well, what if no one wants to take the blame?
Well, I'm just talking about intimacy and money, okay? We're talking about intimacy, not the blame and not... I'm talking about control.
It's all about the blame. Blame is... But okay, go ahead.
Okay, here's a woman who wants her husband to earn more money, so she tries to help him with his work, and then he gets frustrated and resentful when he doesn't follow through. So...
Wait, he's frustrated that he didn't make more money?
She wants her husband to earn more money.
No, I got that. So she's helping him work?
She's helping him find more work. Tries to help him with his work. Okay?
Okay.
And then she gets frustrated and resentful because he doesn't follow through. And this is a blur.
Why doesn't she just get a job?
This is a blur between...
With all the effort she's putting into finding him more work?
Oh, come on, Drew.
Why doesn't she just start working?
So you can help your spouse be successful.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Or else his professional actions
or inactions
become more important than who she or he is as a romantic partner. So you're blurring the lines.
Well, apparently she's
here.
Not very happy with him in the first place because he doesn't have enough money.
No,
she's putting
so
an emphasis on money.
Money up with intimacy.
No, she's putting an emphasis on money.
Well, because they may need more money in the household.
All right, if they need more money, what do they need more money for?
Well, I don't. Can I just go?
Go.
You're giving me.
Do you?
You're giving me.
I'm just trying to, you know, give you the counterpoint.
Okay. So here,
because I am a man.
Here's a guy who thinks
I'm a man.
He needs to help his wife. This guy thinks he needs to help his wife with her job search, okay? So he creates tasks and things and items
for her
to do.
Oh, that's awful. Don't do that.
Because he knows she wouldn't get anything
done
otherwise.
Don't do that. No.
Well, there
you go.
That's
controlling.
That's
not money.
Right.
That's not money.
Right.
That's about control.
Right.
That has nothing to do with finances.
And that's an intimacy killer.
That's controlling.
Well, that's what...
But he's using money as a control...
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
But he's a very controlling person. He probably picks out her clothes and shit, too. Mm. So that's not like... That's a totally different example.
Yeah. Okay, so now you get it. Control and...
I get it.
Control...
Oh, I always got it.
Control kills...
I get it in.
Intimacy. And I'm talking about financial control. So here are the control issues, and then the other side of it is the intimacy issues. The reason your relationship is not working because one of your spouse isn't doing well at work or made a financial mistake or isn't heeding your professional advice, you're choosing control over intimacy. Control means you keep track of the mistakes. Intimacy means forgiving and forgetting.
Exactly.
Them. Oh, good. I'm glad
it's
you
all
get
about
that.
Compromise.
Okay.
You can't hold things over.
Control means you judge progress or tasks that are finished.
That's usually women.
Intimacy means you simply enjoy being with someone regardless of their
That's
progress.
Men.
I don't think it's a man or a woman. They go
both
ways.
Who remembers everything that happens in a relationship? Women remember everything. And men just usually be like, wait, that happened? I don't remember that.
Control means you interpret all of your partner's actions as a means to make you happy or unhappy. Intimacy means you make yourself happy first before coming together with someone else.
Well, it's got to be a combination. I think.
No. Yeah. Well, you want me to read that one again? Because I think it's an important one for you to hear that one.
No, it'd be a mix of both.
No, you
the
have
other
to,
person has to make you happy.
No. You have to be happy with yourself first, and then the other person just embellishes.
Oh, I love myself.
But happy is love.
Oh, I'm happy. Okay. Do you not see the smile on my face? This. I wish everyone else could see the smile on my face right now.
It is a huge smile. He's looking
thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Because a boy in a candy
because
store.
He's watching. He's looking at my shoes and
your
they're
shoes
making
are
him
over.
Happy.
Now I'm just trying to give you knowledge. It's surprising that I'm so much younger than you, but have so much more knowledge. Oh. How did this happen?
Control means you use your moods to manipulate your spouse. Intimacy.
Women.
I don't think this is a gender. What men
it's
do this
totally
and women
based.
Do. Intimacy means you figure out how to meet your own needs, but also speak openly about them after you have a handle on your own emotions.
That's men.
Oh, shut up. Okay.
No.
Control means you're interested in events playing out a certain way and stay anxious about them. Intimacy means you detach.
So where's the money in this? I don't understand where the money is.
Well, money. People.
But this
use,
could be used in different ways. This isn't just money.
Yeah, money. I'm talking about money. The control of money.
Well,
right
see,
now.
The problem is a lot of women make less money or no money, whereas men make most of the money. And then women get angry at the men.
No.
This reminds me of last week's episode.
No.
It does, right, Joe?
No.
That's what I'm thinking.
No. I don't agree with him one bit.
No, I'm just saying that like everything's melting together.
Well, that's Andrew's perception. I'm just talking about how money control zaps intimacy in a relationship.
But you just need to go into it
saying... I can agree with that. That statement, boom. Yeah.
I think you need to just pull your funds. Just be like, it's group.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
It's a group effort.
Here's one last thing. Control means you don't trust your spouse to solve his or her problems without your input. Intimacy means you trust them to make the right choice and know if they don't, things can still turn out okay. That's what goes on in relationships. If you think those kinds of scenarios don't go where there's one person controlling and the other person is being submissive or being whatever the word is, where the true happy acquiescing, right? Or the true happy, healthy relationship, the person just lets that person be. And so it's very hard to do that, frankly. And so people use money.
Well, this is the problem because, no offense, your personal happiness outside of this person is not really possible because the other person's happiness then affects your happiness. So you want to help them be happy because then you're happier also.
No, that you don't have to help somebody else be happy. Happiness comes from self.
Supporting
the other person.
Supporting that
make
other
you
person
happy.
Makes you happy. Like making
well,
them
supporting
happy.
Supporting their decisions.
Exactly.
Yes.
So when they're unhappy and not doing something.
Yes.
And they're.
You could give suggestions.
Sure.
That's all.
It's great.
Yeah.
But then their unhappiness seeps into your happiness.
Well, you can't.
And that's negative shit. You don't like that negative crap going on in your life. See, then
moodiness
what?
Is a problem.
Exactly. If you're not happy with your life. Sometimes the controlling switches on because you're like, you need to do something now because you're unhappy. How long can you abide the dude just being unhappy? You can't abide. Dude can't abide.
True. Now you're getting stupid, okay? Can I just say intimacy, love, and support go a lot further towards solving money problems than control, judgment, and accusations.
Yes.
That's true, right?
Of course.
So you're going to have a healthier relationship if you don't try to control the money situation. So what? Well, that's it.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a lot of friends nowadays. They're all married.
Yes.
They keep separate accounts.
Well, I'm going to talk about that now.
Like, I don't understand that.
Well, I'm going to talk about that. As you know, I've done this for a long time. I sat across the desk from a lot of couples. And so let me tell you some of the things that work. And then I'm going to tell you some of the things that don't work. So first of all, you should have a monthly financial discussion with your spouse. Because every month you sit down and you lay out your bills. You know, things come in. And you both should participate in that. That's absolutely imperative. And this keeps secrets. You got to be honest. You got to bring the bills to the table and you got to go over them. And if your Amex bill is all of a sudden, 10 times higher than it should be, you're going to have to confront or confess to your spouse that you had a bad month.
You had a bad month of what?
Oh, whatever
overspending,
whatever it is. Okay. You got to share responsibility. You're both in this. You're a partnership.
Hey, I'm all for
it. You're a partnership, so the two of you have to play a primary role in managing finances. It's very common for one spouse to take control, and the other spouse doesn't even want to do any part, even want to deal with it. That's unhealthy. Eliminate debt outside to the outside financial institutions. You know, your goal should be to get those credit cards paid down and get other debt paid down. Your mother-in-law.
That's a whole another situation later.
Well, debt is deadly for a lot of relationships. Well, and that's what I'm talking about.
Can we take a break real quick? And
all right, we'll come back and talk the rest of it. We have lots more to talk about. We'll be right back.
All of us at Cane Vineyard and Winery are proud to support Heritage Radio Network and the growing movement to change the way we eat and think about our planet. For more information, go to cane5.com.
Okay, we're back. That's the great music of Ray Scrow, the saxophonist from...
Who's Ray Scrow?
My boyfriend.
Oh.
What a guy, huh? Writes good music, plays good music. Okay, let's continue with financial...
So do you control Ray Scrow, or are you intimate with Ray Scrow?
No, we have a balance, okay? We're balanced.
How did you strike your balance?
Well, I'm going to explain
that. Well, no, because you just like intimacy.
What?
You just like intimacy, you said.
Well, there's a balance. I mean...
Well, no. You said control's
no
good.
We work together.
Do you really work together?
We work together.
How do you work together?
We discuss our finances.
How do you do it? Give us an example of how you do it. Killing outside debt is great. How do you do it?
How do I kill outside debt?
No, how do you guys work this balance?
We talk about our bills.
Both personal as well as group bills?
Well, we don't have group bills.
You don't?
No. We keep our finances separate.
Why?
And that's very common for a couple
our age.
Does
that make for a healthy relationship?
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to...
And your situation.
I was going to get to that. Because when you're a young couple and you pull in your efforts together, you're starting a family, and you want to buy an apartment, and you want to build, you know, work on your careers and so forth. A young couple generally, in my opinion, should pool their finances.
All of them?
Well, yes. Because it's better to be more honest. But every couple has its unique things about it. Some couples really are very bad about spending money or something. So, you know, you might have to put a little more tighter control on somebody, or somebody has a certain thing that they're saving towards, and the two of you can agree, well, yeah, he wants to open his own radio station one day, and he's going to put away his own money towards that goal.
Well, why not support him in that and work together?
It depends on the couple. But for the most part, a young couple starting out together for the first time generally should pool their finances. There are many couples out there that don't pool their finances. It's a little strange, but it works for them. But the vast majority of people...
But it limits your asset accumulation process.
Well, it depends. You know, if you have a spouse that's really financially inept, you're going to bang your head against the wall. You're going to have a joint checking account, and he or she's going to go to the ATM and deplete that balance all the time. That's going to be driving the person who's not financially inept crazy. So people have to strike and find what works for them. In an older couple, such as Ray and I, who we have our own separate families, we, you know, came together much older, and we have our own separate assets and so forth, more often than not, keeping finances separate makes more sense for legal and financial purposes. But I want to talk about financially successful couples. So I talked about having a monthly budget meeting, sharing the responsibility, eliminate outside debt, try to bring that debt, because that really triggers a lot of fights and a lot of couples.
Well, the problem is, does the couple attack that together, or do they do it separately?
Well, you have to meet, and you have to, your goal should be to reduce and eliminate that debt to the banks and to the credit cards. But, you know, hopefully the two of you are on the same page. Therein lies all the fights. You know, one person wants to keep spending, the other person doesn't want to spend.
What if one person comes in with a lot more debt over the
head? That's something.
Should the other partner take that on?
Well, that's something that you have to discuss before you march down the aisle, how that's going to be treated.
But wouldn't you want, as an intimate couple, I would assume, that'd be like, hey, we're going to work on this together so that we can get ahead together.
If
you keep that separate, that's just going to be I see this is your problem here. A lot of people like to be selfish and separate, whereas I like to be like, all right, we're going in this together.
Yes.
It's a group effort. Yes. Like, we're going in hard.
Right.
I'm in.
Right.
I got this. This is what I'm bringing to the table. Right. I make this much money. I have this much in the bank. What do you got?
Okay.
And if you're not willing to work together with that person on this financial
then
thing,
you're gonna have
then
a
there's
problem.
No point in even starting the relationship
in the
first
place. You're
going to
have a problem, absolutely.
Like, why? Like, you're just going to have 5 years down the line when that person's still paying off their $100,000 in student
right.
loans.
Right.
And you're like, I want to do this now. And you're like, well, I still have this.
That's right.
I'm still carrying this freaking 50-pound backpack
right.
while you're running ahead of me.
That's right.
Like, how are you going to actually have a full relationship? And I don't think that's a beneficial way to start a relationship. And this separate finance thing.
But there are often...
Even at your age, separate finance, you should pull some things.
No.
So you can work together. Like, what if you want to go on vacation?
Well, we split the vacation.
Why not work at it together?
Well, we do this. I say, okay, the airfare, I'm going to pay for the airline tickets. You pay for the hotels.
Like,
at
do you
end,
not plan that out like six
at,
months?
At the end.
Like 6 months out, be like, hey, I want to go on vacation. Do you want to go on vacation?
No. Well, we talk about vacation every day in our house.
Well, that's because you live the life that no one else has. Your life of luxury is a lot better than mine.
Yes.
So, you know, like to think like, all right, we need to come up with, say it's a $2,000 vacation.
No,
but,
I
like,
don't
this
do it that way.
So yeah, but what if your partner isn't on an equal footing as you are?
That's right. He's
so
not.
What if I wasn't trying to be like that?
No, but
I understand you make more than your boyfriend. I got it. Great for you.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, like, what if like this you're not being fair to that person if you keep your finances completely separate?
I don't agree. So the way
how are you supposed to plan for something if you keep your
finances
completely separate?
Well, we talk about it. Let's say we want to go to Europe. Okay, we want to go to Europe, so we need to come up with an airfare, hotel, and
how much time do you give them?
Plenty,
my ass.
6 months.
Okay, that's what I said.
I don't know.
I threw out that figure.
I don't know.
So, like, you do allow for that. Like, you need to be conscious of the other person and their situation, especially if you're keeping it separate. Whereas if you pool things,
well, let me tell
you can
something.
Draw from the same pool and be like, all right, we got this.
Okay, but we're at a different stage of life. The money that we work and save.
But I'm saying you could pool something together.
We don't.
Wait, I'm just, it'll be nice.
Well, we
so
don't.
So, alleviate some of the stress in his life or her life. And, like, if you make more money than they do, be like, hey, we're at this point in our lives. Let's just throw something together. If not everything, be like, hey.
Okay, well, you know what? That makes for a very nice pooling of efforts together.
I think it makes for a happy relationship. I'm more intimate than you are. You're very controlling.
I don't believe so. So can
you
I finish?
You have no idea.
So then also you should have a plan B. A plan B in case things don't go.
What do you need a plan B for?
In case
for your marriage?
In case things don't work out according to your monthly budget
savings.
Plans. Okay.
Savings.
And
what's that, Jack?
I said prenups.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
We didn't get to that. I'm going to get to that. And finally, if you're really struggling with your finances, with your marriage, and it's a very common thing, you might need to seek outside help, whether you get a financial marriage counselor or something like that. The other things I want to bring up that are important in a marriage is, as Andrew keeps saying, is you got to be partners. You got to be partners, and you got to strike the partnership agreement that works in your partnership, okay? Not one size fits all. There are different structures and different things work for different people, just as somebody who's 50 is not going to have the same outlook on their finances and their relationship as somebody who's 30. You got to define your goals. If you have similar sensibilities, it's going to be easier. If you think that going on vacation once a year is good enough for this relationship and for your own self-health, that's good. If you think that going on vacation every month is more important and the other partner doesn't think so, that's going to be a problem. So the goals have to be similar. If you think you want to send your kids to private school and pay private school tuition and the other person says, I think that's a waste of money, that's going to strike a problem.
Well, you should cross all these bridges before you get there.
Well, that's why define your goals. And this is...
Like before you step down the aisle?
Well, yeah. Well, before you step down the aisle or before you decide to have a child. You know, maybe you don't have to decide how you're going to raise your kids.
Well, you're already in the relationship if you start having kids.
And so then the next thing...
Right? Hopefully.
Well, yeah, but that's not the case. I mean, so many people don't have kids, get married first before they have kids. Combine your finances. That's probably the most practical thing to do, especially for a first-time married couple or whatever works for you, but that's pretty common. Work out removing financial pressures. If one of the spouses has extreme student loan debt and it's really wearing on them, maybe the other spouse could say, well, let's pool our efforts here and I'll help you and I'll support you and help you pay that down, just like Andrew's talking. So Andrew's got a good sense of how to do your finances as a partner, and that's a very healthy thing to do.
I learned it from you, Mom.
Well, I didn't have a partner. So you saw me run the whole show. But now I went, let me just tell you one last thing. This is probably no surprise.
What's wrong with Andrew?
Andrew's weird today. I think he needs to eat or something. So the interesting thing is being richer isn't always better. at least when it comes to marriage, because having a lot of money causes you to have lots of things and causes lots of problems. Richer people have weaker relationships, marriages, and money is a big problem in these rich relationships. Is that a surprise? They're more materialistic. And
I think it depends on the people.
Well, it's just studies. I mean, generally speaking.
Well, usually rich people are coming from rich families, which are usually not as close-knit. And
well, things around
when you're poor,
money,
things work out better because you have to work together.
That's right. It's
so
true.
You have more of a bond. When everything's given to you your whole life, right. You expect everything, and then you become selfish.
And things around money are complicated. And when it's complicated, it brings on power, and it brings on
manipulation and control,
yielding and control and things like that. So money does not buy you happiness in a marriage.
It ensures happiness. Individual level.
Well,
you're happier.
No, that's not true.
It makes for a bad relationship, I think.
It's harder. You know, there's a saying that when we were poorer, we were happier because we worked together and we struggled together. It's a very, very common saying. Okay, so I got a couple scenarios here, and you guys are going to tell me what you think. Arthur and Andrea are planning to get married within the year. Before the wedding takes place, Arthur receives a significant and unexpected windfall of $80,000. They both agree to purchase a home, but Arthur tells Andrea that since the money is his, he will not put her name on the deed, citing that if the marriage doesn't work out, she will not be able to put any claim on it. If you were Andrea, would you still want to marry Arthur?
Well, the problem is after...
I need more back information.
Once they start paying the mortgage together, doesn't she become a rightful owner to the asset?
Well, if they pool their money, yes, she's now paying down the mortgage. But he put $80,000 and he's saying, I'm not putting your name on the deed. If he doesn't put her name on the deed, she's never going to have any legal ownership to it.
Even if she pays for the asset?
That's right. That's right. She could get credit for it in a divorce if she has a good lawyer, depending on which state she's divorced in.
Well, it's up to her. If she wants to, she can.
I would marry him, and I don't blame Arthur for doing that. It's his $80,000.
It's his money. It's his asset.
Yes, he has to get credit for that. That's my opinion.
And she should just say, then you pay the mortgage, and I'll pay you a supplemental rent.
Right. That's
and
a good
she
one.
She should keep her money for herself.
Well, there's that goes against what you just said, how they should pool their efforts.
Well, I would actually just say, yes, you're on the mortgage with me because I plan on spending the rest of my life with you. I wouldn't be that asshole who says, oh, that's my money. You're out. Uh-huh. See, you're that person. I'm not that person. Uh-huh. If I'm planning on marrying someone in a month,
yeah.
I would put their name on the mortgage.
Yeah.
On the deed, whatever. On the whole thing. It doesn't matter. Because if I'm doing that, what's the difference?
Okay, here's
the next. Because of a month difference. I'm going to take advantage.
$80,000.
So what's the difference?
If the house only costs $100,000, you know.
Over the life of... If you're worried about $80,000 over a life of a marriage, then you shouldn't get married in the first place.
Wow, you're really idealistic.
No, I'm not. That's just ridiculous. $80,000. How much money is that over a 30-year marriage?
Depends on...
Nothing. Literally, it's nothing.
Okay.
That's like $2,300 a year.
All right.
Like, honestly, if you're worried about that much money in a relationship, then don't get married in the first place. That person's not right for you.
Well, maybe because you've never been married, you see things differently. As a person who's been married before, maybe I see things differently. And that's a very interesting perspective. Okay, Bob and Becky agree that they want to raise a family of two children. Becky intends to go back to work after the kids are in school for a full day, but Bob insists that she be a stay-at-home wife and mom after the first child arrives. So he changed his story.
For how long?
Becky says she would agree to that if Bob would help her out financially so that she can run her own home business. Bob refuses, saying she only needs to do her job as a wife and mother, and that doesn't need any additional funds. Bob's refusal to accept a compromise on this issue would mean Becky would be entirely dependent upon him for any money for herself and the children if she married him. Is this healthy?
No. That's differing views on what you want in life.
Well, but that also shows you how
the
people change.
The wording of that was just, it made it. He's very obvious.
Yes, very obvious. But he also changed his
It's not obvious. You know, some people want to be a stay-at-home wife.
Yeah, but he changed
That's true. That's true. But it seems
he lied.
He changed his mind.
In that scenario, he didn't.
I understand. I'm with you. I wouldn't marry him either.
All right. Well, it wasn't healthy. It's not healthy.
That doesn't
healthy.
Seem like a healthy relationship.
Okay. But he could change his mind and after you march down the aisle and you have your first kid, because that's what happened. She had her first kid, and now he says, I don't want you to go back to work. I want you to stay home forever.
That's retarded.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the last one. Clarence has a thriving, successful business, a son from a previous marriage, and substantial bank account with seven figures. Claire has...
Ballin'. That's ridiculous.
Claire Whoa. Has worked...
Where are these... All right, go ahead. Claire's worked
well. Claire has worked in a series of low-paying jobs and is excited by the prospect of marrying a wealthy man.
Prenup.
She and Clarence have been dating only a few months, but he asked her to marry him anyway. Shortly before the wedding,
she asked him to marry her.
But he asked her to marry him anyway.
Oh, that's not what you said.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was
shortly
just
before the wedding, Clarence tells her that he has set up a large trust account for his son when he turns 21. He has made a will giving his son the majority of the estate should Clarence die unexpectedly. He has also asked for his attorney to draw up a prenup, which would give Claire a generous settlement in the event of a divorce, but nothing beyond that. Claire, hearing of this, is furious at being asked to sign the document, despite the fact that it would hardly leave her penniless. She had her sights set much higher.
So she's a gold digger.
Her rage strikes.
Where do you get these from, like Mad Magazine or Clarence, something? It's like ridiculous. Come on now.
So he Joe, calls
can you
off
hear this,
the Claire? Wedding.
I think I'm going to marry Clarence.
I'd be in on that. Are you kidding me?
So, but that happens every day of the week. People are asked to sign a prenup, and people get angry when they're asked to sign a prenup. And what do you guys think?
Well, if they get angry about it,
it ain't your stuff. It's not yours.
Exactly. It's.
I agree.
If you're getting angry about it, then you're in it for the wrong reason in the first place.
I agree.
Place.
And frankly, my opinion is a prenup will never be pulled out of the drawer as long as you have a happy marriage. So what are you worried about? You're getting married. You're going to be happy. You're going to work at it. You're going to stay. And if it doesn't stay happy, then, you know, the guy really, it's a legal document. You have to comply with what you signed off on. I don't think it's a bad thing. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Okay? Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.